Welcome to the best of the RSN Breakfast Club. Here's a little bit of what we did. Take a listen.
Adam White is here again, getting ready for a big Friday morning on the program. Good morning to you, Whitey.
One thing Daniel Harford sees clearly now is that men reckon they know it all.
Yeah, well, working with you, I know
women,
that.
Women, his charges at Carlton, and the players he tutored at Collingwood the year before are different.
Thank you for your voice. Craig Willis.
No half measures. No. The coach turning wooden spooners into stars.
Slightly carried away. Slightly carried away. Adam Romanaskis, speaking of carried away, did that plenty of times in his football career for the Bombers. These days, he's manager to players who get carried away. Good morning, Roma.
I'm not the personality type for the men's system. I'm not manic enough. I'm not organised enough.
It's true. So true.
There's too many things I'm not to be a men's coach.
That's right. Spot on. Anyway, good morning to you, Roma.
Very good morning, Daniel. Very good morning.
You're idiots. It's like coming to work with bloody Tweedledum and Tweedledee. That's what it is, hanging out with you.
I was quite captivated by that, the attitude and the environment.
You're idiots.
All those R-E words. What are those R-E words?
Yeah, well, you read the other bit beforehand.
I did read them beforehand.
All right, you idiots.
Education doesn't have R-E in it, though. It's just education. Where's the R-E?
That's the umbrella.
Oh, that's the umbrella. Oh, right. Umbrella. Okay.
I would argue that he's re-educating them at Carlton.
Yes.
It's the umbrella. you finished?
Well, it's just a full page, double page spread type situation.
Amazing article.
It's not a double page.
Are you happy with it?
It's fine, yeah.
I'm disappointed, to be honest.
Why are you disappointed?
Well, I would have liked like a photo sort of...
Yeah, more front on. It's sort of got the side angle of the face.
No, but I would like a photo sort of, you know, walking on a jetty or just in the shallows in
maybe
linen
the
pants.
Or just
kicking the water up, you know, in the shallows.
Or in the backyard just dangling your feet in the new swimming pool. Something just, you know.
Yeah. We want to know more about Daniel the person as opposed to Daniel the coach.
No one cares.
Daniel the mentor.
About Daniel the person. It's not relevant for the public consumption.
Me personally, Whitey, usually it's about the players when they win. And Daniel's making it about himself when Carlton have their first win.
Well, certainly no half measures about that.
No.
It's halftime.
Look, if you want self-promotion, I think you're in the wrong place.
What's the wrong place? Where am
here.
I?
Here. Self-promotion doesn't work
oh,
here.
Oh, no, not here. Oh, no.
Not here.
Oh, no. Until I came in, I didn't know it was going in today. I didn't know when it was going in. I certainly wasn't getting any support from you two, Flogs.
Well, the thing is that you're involved in a top-of-the-table clash this week.
Ooh.
In Pool B.
It's Conference B.
Conference B. And so it just seems that it's the appropriate time.
You idiots. You know what I worked out this morning, as we digress?
Just thought it could have been maybe back page. You're going to go too many pages in.
You need to talk to Eliza, Saul.
I worked out that getting petrol in the morning takes longer than you think.
Well, it depends if the doors are open.
What do you mean?
Well, sometimes you can put petrol in and you go to the front and you have to prepay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this was an open door situation, which was pleasing.
Yeah.
But when you leave the message with the world champ the night before because you're going out, can you just fill up the car for me in the morning so I don't have to get up and go earlier? And you wake up in the morning, you get in the car, and the red light's flashing as if to say, mate, you're going to push this in a second.
Yeah, help me here, please.
You have to push this in a second. Mm. I was a bit flat about that this morning. That was a big setback.
Did you send a little text message? Thanks.
No, because divorce is not really something I need to get into at the moment. I can't afford to be divorced. So that was bad news. But getting petrol takes longer than you think.
Yeah. Did you?
You always think it's a 3-minute job, but it takes about 8.
Because when you're doing it in the morning, you're tired.
Yes.
Did you purchase or at least look at the chocolate bars as you were paying? Do I need some sustenance to get myself going?
No, pie or a sausage roll?
Not that time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No way.
Yes, absolutely.
Pre-6 a.m. pie?
Yep. Outstanding.
Really?
Outstanding.
From a service station type situation. Oh, no chance.
I'm happy to buy the cheese and spinach roll from the servo. Don't worry about that.
What?
Yeah, cheese and spinach roll.
Who are you, cheese and spinach?
Who are you?
He's a mentor. That's what he is.
Nothing wrong with cheese and spinach roll.
I think this coaching thing's going to your head.
You send an SMS check out there.
You'll find, I guarantee you, there's sausage rolls and pies being eaten by all our listeners.
Well, it's a cheese and spinach sausage roll. It's one of those ones. It's delicious. You put it out there on the SMS, and they'll come back flooding there with support for the cheese and spinach sausage roll situation.
Meat pie with some... I'll give you the cheese. I won't give you the spinach or a sausage roll.
Pre-6 a.m.
Anytime.
Not on the way home from somewhere.
No. Going somewhere. Yeah, going somewhere. Absolutely.
I'm not sure that's right. I'm not sure the pre-6 a.m. thing is actually a thing.
No. Okay.
How many times have you pre-6 a.m.?
Many.
When was your last pre-6 a.m.?
2 weeks ago, when I had to get petrol in the morning.
Righto. Pre-6 a.m. sausage rolls and pies. Let us know. 0416 90 50 52. Or would you go the cheese and spinach option, like the more established mature palate? What do you think, Remo?
I told you. Pie, sauce, sausage roll, sauce.
Right. Okay. Pie, sauce, sausage roll, sauce. Hey, they tell me that Sam Walsh is a pretty good player.
Yeah.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, look, and I was lucky enough to see him play a lot through his underage career. There was a game last year where he was in the AFL Academy, so the best players or best under 18 players from around the country, they get to play one game a year on the MCG against the VFL club. Last year they played North Melbourne's reserves team, and I went to that game because you always want to see the kids playing against the bigger bodies, you know, and some form of AFL players in those lineups. Now, I walked away from that game thinking, if I was a senior coach and I was picking one player to come into my team for the next week, he would have been the one. He was a clear standout in April last year of how good he was. Now, I don't think there was ever a debate last year that he was going to be number one. Just classy through stoppage, has time through a stoppage. So I think that's what separates the good player, the really, really good players, just from the good players, particularly at a young age. He was able to get the ball and sort of a little bit similar to Pendlebury,
yep,
make people stand still, and then he was able either to get a clearing handball or take the ball through the stoppage. But what also impresses me about him, it's his decision-making with the ball in hand. When he's out in open space, he's making the right decision where to kick the football. And there was a couple of passages of play yesterday where his ball use, I think, was just simply outstanding for a kid of his age. So I think Carlton got a good one there. When he was taken at number one, the talk around the room was that's a surefire 250-game player right there.
Well, that's good news for the Blues, for that type of player to be coming in, being injected into the squad. Johnny Ralph, who wrote the match report for the practice match yesterday in the Herald Sun today, The Buzz, says just one word. He has a separate paragraph for this. Walsh was exceptional.
Mm.
Stop. Don't worry about whether he plays round one. This is probably getting a little bit carried away. The Blues have a player who might run Cripps close in their best and fairest award this year.
Yeah, that's what you...
It's a good leap.
Look, he's a number one pick, so there's going to be a lot of attention on him anyway, but you still don't want to put unnecessary attention on him to start talking about that when he hasn't played a senior game. That's my feeling. Let him establish himself over the first couple of rounds, and then, you know, after that, well, if he's good enough, yeah, maybe he can win a best and fairest. But there's still, regardless if you pick one or you pick 101, you still feel the pressure. Mm. You still feel the pressure when you come into an AFL club, and then particularly when you play your first couple of games, you sort of got to work out if you belong at that level. Now, he will belong. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind about that. So I just hope that, from my point of view, that Carlton don't over-promote the young kid as being the saviour of the football club moving forward, Whitey.
Yeah, but it's going to happen.
I think
Carlton needs it. I mean, it is going to put a lot of pressure on Sam Walsh. There's no doubt about that. But it seems like he's got the personality that can cope with that. But the commentary from yesterday's game was about Sam Walsh, not the fact that Carlton didn't score in the third That's quarter right. and Hawthorn, with an understrength team, led by 8 goals at three-quarter time. Yeah. Now, they called the Jets, and it ended up being a 4 or 5 goal win. But the commentary was around
Sam Walsh.
Future.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that the Blues have got to embrace that, because if they're not embracing that, they're talking about, oh, okay, we've new year and, and we haven't scored in the third quarter. We had 4 goals, 2:26 at three-quarter time in perfect conditions. It was actually about Sam Walsh.
See, the storyline for mine out of the game really was what Hawthorn potentially were going to do without Tom Mitchell. Now, James Warple, who we saw last year, half played a really, really good game.
Yep.
He was exceptional early in that game. Dylan Moore, who Hawthorn fans didn't see last year, played more as a small forward, was able to kick a couple of goals. So, you know, signs there, I think, for the Hawks that I think they're going to be fine again. Hawthorn, they tend to just find a way to trick the competition into a false sense of security. So they'll be fine again. But, yeah, I agree with you. You know, being 8 goals down in a practice match is never ideal. But yeah, it's selling a story to probably get some more members.
And that's important. Look, it's practice match football. It's not even JLT Cup football. So I think you can't read too much into it. But my point is that the storyline coming out of yesterday wasn't the fact that Carlton were 8 goals down at three-quarter time. It was the unveiling of a new exciting player, which is, you know, the future of Carlton, hopefully.
And which is members.
Yeah.
That translates into memberships.
Yes, but the Carlton website could write about that. But
yeah, but the how many people have eyes on the Carlton website? How many people have eyes on the Herald Sun?
You'd be surprised how many have eyes on the Carlton website, as in Carlton fans. But this is the neutralised view of the game was what the number one draft pick did.
Actually, I'm intrigued, but just thinking about what you said there, how many fans do go to the club's websites?
Lots.
I'd like to know the numbers on that for their news.
Yeah, no, lots.
I must admit, I'm not a website man.
No, likewise.
Too often.
No.
But I'm interested to know that.
No, your feeds from clubs now are on your socials, Twitter, Instagram, if you want to find out any information. Now, yeah, that links back to the website a lot of the times with their articles, but I don't go to any club's websites to find
information. You're allowed to say it's an NFC.com.
I don't go to any
That's
club.
What you're going to say. You might as well say it.
But, I mean, it is bordering a lot of the time on propaganda.
Oh, of course
but,
it is.
But... Yeah, in a way, well, of course you're going to do it because it's your own club's website. Yeah. So you're not going to hammer your players on the website. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Sam. I kind of feel sorry for him because the pressure is going to be on him. But at the same point, he's someone that I think is going to be able to cope with it.
Well, it's not like Carlton haven't had a history of number one draft picks.
Well, that's right.
So they should know how to handle them.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true. A good performance by the Hawks yesterday, they reckon. And geez. Sam Walsh getting some love after his performance.
I'm flying along here.
What's happened?
I'm flying along.
Well, the Servo Sausage Roll Cheese and Spinach V Standard race is on the RSN Breakfast Twitter account. Speaking of socials.
Tackling the big issue.
33%. Us.
And just because you're at a regime, you would be fully involved and engaged in this.
Under no circumstances am I buying a sausage roll of any sort.
Well, you buy a chocolate
in a
bar
station.
Then.
Well, I'm much more likely to do that.
Because you're definitely not having spinach.
Well, absolutely not. But it's a bakery situation for a sausage roll.
Well, you're in the servo.
You're
in the bakery
that's,
open.
That's well, of course I'm going to a bakery, but I'm in a service station.
Yeah, so I'm not doing it.
Oh, that's a lie. The punter's friend tells me off the SMS, the pre-6 a.m. cheese, bacon, steak pie is better than finding a 20-1 winner. Punter's friend. I've got to get you a better 20-1 winner. Just had a cheese and onion sausage roll for breakfast. Good one, Rammer, says Chris in Ballarat. This one for me. Just banked that anger half about not filling up the car until she rips in you about the beer bottle left next to the couch and go bang. So bank it. I might do that. Thank you for that SMS this morning. 6:22. Plenty more coming up. Mick Sharkey's got involved via the Twitter sphere as well. He says definitely an early morning pie, croissant chaser, bakery preferred.
Bakery preferred.
Well, it's preferred, Mick. Yeah. But we're getting petrol, so the bakery's not there.
The shark does like the finer things in life. Mine little really croissant. Does.
Duncan McKenzie McCarg, sporting freak is what he is. He's our Euros correspondent. He's on the line. Good morning, Dunk.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you on. My understanding is, my little news people out there have told me that you had a brush with fame this morning.
I did. I'm currently in New York, and this morning I went out to get my morning coffee in Greenwich Village, and I couldn't help but notice a fairly tall, distinguished-looking bloke at the counter just throwing back shots of coffee, not sipping. It almost looked like he was at a city bar knocking back shots of vodka. One, bam, ha, 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 another one, bam, ha, ha, laughing, joking, whatever. He turns his back from me and then finally turns around. And looking me dead in the eye is Alec Baldwin. Having a whale of a time on a Thursday morning here in the city, only in New York. He was with his wife and kids, guys, so I didn't really want to bother him and ask him for a selfie or anything like that. But I wanted to ask him when he might be coming out to Australia. And he said, not for a while, because he now has four kids, but when he does, he'll do Japan as well. So there you go. Perez Hilton, Mackenzie McCarg.
That's a Richard Reid type activity from this morning, Duncan.
You'll be in the jungle soon, the way you're going. Now, you're on the way to Philly, my understanding is, for a big night in the NBA.
Yeah, all thanks to our friends at the Australian Consulate here. I'm actually on a bus. It's Australian Heritage Night in Philly, as Ben Simmons, Jonah Bolden, and the Philadelphia 76ers host the Miami Heat. Tonight is sponsored by 4&20, who last year became the Sixers' first international corporate partner in franchise history. So there's going to be a pie-eating competition at halftime among the Philadelphia Hawks players. That's the local Aussie rules football team here. Aussie NFL player Jordan Mailata will ring the Liberty Bell to start the game. There'll be a station to pick up an Aussie flag. Also, the first 5,000 people will get an Aussie T-shirt with a boxing kangaroo on it. And listen to this, guys. To show off our dangerous wildlife inside the arena, the Philadelphia Insectarium has installed a spider exhibit. So let's hope for the fans' sake that they're not let loose among the crowd at Wells Fargo. Because you get a bit jumpy at the sight of our most deadly animals.
Zion Williamson and the situation last night with the Duke UNC game.
Yeah, scary moment, wasn't it? I mean, the man we all expect to go number one in the NBA draft, just thought Zion Williamson, absolutely in agony on the court with a knee injury, just 36 seconds into that game, Rama. I mean, he limped off, not to return again, and really hurt Duke because the number one seed lost that game. And, yeah, it's been diagnosed as a mild knee sprain. We're going to get some further details on that today. But I tell you what, it's a total PR disaster for Nike because Zion's shoe tore from the heel all the way to the toe with his foot coming out all the way through the large gap. So it's a terrible, terrible situation for everyone involved.
And the world of social media went unbelievably hard at Nike also, didn't they?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a shoe with model from Paul George. So, I mean, we've got the best guy in the league wearing his shoes and it just was literally torn to shreds. And, yeah, make no mistake, guys. I mean, this is an 18-year-old who is the most exciting draft prospect in years. He's a human highlight reel, strong, smart, an incredible in-game dunker. Let's hope for everyone's sake that he can get back out there really quickly. Even former President Barack Obama was sitting courtside and even tweeted after the game, Zion Williamson seems like an outstanding young man as well as an outstanding basketball player, wishing him a speedy recovery. So I'll have to keep tabs on his progress.
There's been the conversation since then from a lot of the NBA players and pro sports people has been that there's got to be a change to the college system, Duncan. They need to be able to get some endorsements or some payment because they're putting their careers on the line through the college years. And this sort of situation hopefully isn't a bad result for Zion, but it does highlight the danger that some of these players are putting themselves into getting ready for the pros where nothing really financially comes their way.
Yeah, 100%. That's 100% right. I mean, we had Donovan Mitchell who tweeted out very soon after the injury basically emphasising that point. And I know that Williamson has got a huge insurance claim on him at the moment, just in case he does get injured and he does slip out of the top 16 or does slip out of the first round in the NBA draft because he gets injured. Yeah, but yeah, this is an 18-year-old who has his future on the line every single time he heads out into the court. So let's hope for his sake that he can get fit and healthy.
We've got $2,500 a ticket for that that contest.
Ridiculous. And that insurance policy was for $16 million if he slips past 16 with an injury.
Is that right? Wow, interesting. Very interesting.
But if he signs straight out of high school, he gets a $100 million Nike deal, straight up.
That's good money. Now, we talk about some NFL news because there's been a controversy surrounding one particular player that's lasted pretty much 12 months, but it looks like we might be getting to some sort of resolution, Dunk.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And we spoke about this all last year on this show, and it's finally come to a head. Running back Le'Veon Bell will finally leave the Pittsburgh Steelers after GM Kevin Pollard basically declared the team won't be signing him as a franchise player next season. Bell, of course, sat himself out for all of last season because of the contract dispute for the team. I remember, Rama, you and I were speaking about this, I think, as early as May last year. It was all surrounding the franchise tag. Pittsburgh basically offered him a $14.5 million a season contract, but apparently that wasn't enough for Le'Veon because only $10 million of that was guaranteed. He wanted more. He didn't sign the contract in July, didn't report to pre-season training, and never played a game in 2018. So, yeah, the Steelers missed the playoffs. They had a horror run. Obviously, we know what the complications now with Antonio Brown. But to say Dell is relieved, guys, massive understatement, because he tweeted out last night, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I am free at last." So almost Martin Luther King style. So we've got general managers from all across the league will now start making a play for Bell when he becomes an unrestricted free agent on March the 13th. And there's some reports that when Bell set out this season, I mean, he blew out to as much as 260 pounds or 118 kilos when he wasn't training, which is huge for a running back, considering he's playing weight generally 225. So that's another consideration for these teams when they try and sell, try and sign this guy.
So Doug, where will he go? Who are the teams that he's most likely to be considered for?
Well, Rammer, the New York Jets are definitely the front runner, so they've already expressed interest in him. Bell's basically reportedly asking for $16 million a season over 3 years, and I'm guessing 90% of that will want guaranteed. So time will tell whether he gets what he thinks he's worth and whether he has whether he'll get that fun. I mean, it's just like it's a crazy situation considering that he's gone over $20 million Australian last season in this obstinate play of getting what he wants. So, I mean, basically, you're not only signing a running back, you're also signing a guy with a massive ego. So that's another consideration that these teams have to take into consideration.
Very good tweet that had come through questioning the whole thing. Because a cheese and spinach sausage roll, or whatever you want to call it, it's not even a sausage roll. It's a savoury pastry.
Mate, it's in the sausage roll warmer, so it's a sausage roll.
It's in shape of a sausage roll.
Thank you, Adam. So whoever that was...
No, that was Roger.
Roger.
I agree with Roger.
You can't agree with Roger, because it's in the warmer with the sausage roll. They're brothers. All right, that's how it works.
I reckon they're second cousins at best.
No, they're absolute brothers. Dean Lester, the world's greatest form analyst, I'm sure, has sampled both, and he's with us on the Friday form again. Good morning, Dino.
Good morning, Daniel. Happy to partake in either, really.
Yeah, there you go. I reckon you're a cheese and spinach, but really, 51% cheese and spinach.
No, but happy that if they're sold out of the sausage rolls, I'll go with cheese and spinach.
Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. Well done too, Dino. Last week, Rammer put pressure on you to come up with a roughie, and at $11, you got it home first up. Well done.
Thank you, Daniel. It was very good to see Thundercloud fight back and win. It was a marvellous result.
I should have seen Rammer's message on the group text machine. Oh, man. What's he up and about?
Yeah, I butted into Daniel's team meeting with the girls.
Yes. Oh, I gathered it was close to game time because I didn't get a message after it won, Daniel, so you were excused. So
I was focused, Daniel.
Yeah, I can tell.
Nick Quinn's with us from the tab. Good morning to you, Quinny.
Sounds like Dino still hasn't given his number to Rammer, so he can't get on to him directly. So you're the link man between the pair.
Well, it's going to stay that way a while.
This is something that's got to be kept secret for my sanity, please.
You know, when Rammer coming at you thick and fast on a Saturday morning, Dino, you don't need that in your life.
I have a few ex-footballers that try that on a Saturday morning, I must say. Don't need any more. No, morning plough, by the way.
Hall of Famer Terry these days, that's what
yes,
we call him.
Hall of Famer.
Good stuff. Right, let's have a bit of a look at Blue Diamond Day tomorrow. For the first timers listening in RSN land, what we do is have a bit of a look at the quaddy leagues for the Saturday meeting in Melbourne. Tomorrow, of course, is Caulfield Blue Diamond Day, which is a fantastic day of racing. Group 1s left, right and centre. And the first leg of the quaddy team is the Group 1 Futurity Stakes, the Yulong Futurity Stakes. This year, over the 1,400 metres, we've got a 12 going around, and that all-star mile-bound Elise is favourites for James Cummings, Dino, at $2.30 at tab.com.au.
She deserves to be too, Daniel. She's in marvellous form. She had that mishap in the spring where she had a bleeding attack and didn't race through the spring, but we've seen her back over the summer with two really good wins, and I just think the timing's right for her to come to this race and probably win again. She's going to be in the back half of the field, so she's going to need a little bit of luck. And last start, of course, we saw Manuel lead and get away with a cheap lead and win the Or. I don't know if that'll be the case here with, I think, Le Romaine from out wide, and I'd be expecting a lot more positive ride from a good draw on Redkirk Warrior. So I think there'll be a bit more pressure, which will suit Elise. I'll be taking three in the quaddie. The other one's Land of Plenty. He's now with the Snowden Yard. He ran well in the Ore Stakes. I think he'll turn the tables on Manuel from that. And as I mentioned, I think Redkirk Warrior is the value chance in the race. Two runs this time in, he's drawn wide. They haven't really pushed him forward, trying to get him up over a longer trip. But tomorrow, Barrier 3, I think they won't be giving up that advantage, box seat, and he'll run very well. So they're the three I'll be putting in the quaddie, 11, 7 and 4.
Is Lise a betting stifler, Quinny?
Yeah, dominates the market at 2.30. Redkirk Warrior, a $12 chance. She's been brilliant in both wins this campaign, Lise Dino. Is the fact that the race is at Caulfield any concern? She's had one start there in the 1,000 guineas and she didn't look to handle it very well on that occasion.
Oh, it wasn't so much that. She was at the end of her preparation. She put in a massive peak, and for those that remember on the Breakfast Club, we all sauled into Aloysia and yes. beat her that day. Yeah. So one of our favourites. But Elise can be one of our favourites tomorrow, because I don't think it was Caulfield. I think it was more the end of prep.
What about the defending champion, Brave Smash?
Gets the blinkers back on. Probably goes down to the rail, follows nearly Manuel through, and he'll run well. For a really good horse, he just doesn't win a lot, but he's there somewhere, I think, more as a place chance.
Hartnell was only fair first up from a spell. He's got a good second-up record. Can he improve here?
It's a different preparation for him, because he usually kicks off in these 1400s at Caulfield, so he's had a run before that. So whether it'll be as sharp, but he's sort of in the mix. Probably horses even like Material Man has got a place chance as well, but I think for the quaddie focus, I think we need just three runners.
Maybe for a trifecta or first four. What about number 5, Malaguera, who did trial very nicely and at $51?
Geez, he's going to go wide in this trifecta by the looks of it. We're going big.
Elise's going to win. I just need to work out second, third and fourth.
Right. He went okay. And, when he made a bit of a name for himself, it was at 1400. So he'll get a good run. But, I'm more focused on the quaddie here at this stage, Nicholas.
Right. So Dino said very, very clearly he's only going to take three and... Quinny kept coming.
Two of them are Georges, by the way. I just added one.
That is true. And Quinny just kept coming with 4, 5 and 6. So if you could squeeze three more into
just
the three.
Just questions.
We like your insight, Nicholas. It's good stuff. So 11, 7 and 3 in the first leg tomorrow, the Futurity, to kick off the quaddie legs at Caulfield. The second leg is the feature event of the card. The Blue Diamond Stakes over the 1,200 metres, $1.5 million for the two-year-olds. Up for grabs. We've got a full field of 14 going around, Dino, and Liar and Loving Gaby. The favourites, but was there a vet inspection yesterday for Loving Gabby?
Yeah, I think it's a bit ongoing too, but I think she was. I'm not sure at this stage where that sits, but yeah, there was an inspection of her.
Does that concern you leading into this?
A little bit of deja vu. Kieran Maher had Jukebox in a similar scenario 2 years ago, and he was ultimately scratched. So I hope Loving Gabby gets to the post tomorrow. She's got a very good chance. I'm tipping the fillies to dominate. I think the best of the colts is probably Hawker Hurricane, but I like one at really good odds here. This might be Rammer's Ruffy for the week, and that is Andrassy Avenue. I think her win last week at Moonee Valley was just an absolute perfect pipe opener for this week. She didn't have a lot of luck in the Blue Diamond preview, and she's come up with a good barrier draw, which she hasn't had at either run this time in, so I would expect Luke Nolan would take advantage of that, and at good odds, I think she's got a great winning chance. I'll be giving good chances, though, to the fillies Liar, who I just think, until now, has virtually gone under the radar, and the market's caught up with her now for this race, and she's drawn to get a beautiful run. A theory I thought maybe was ridden a little bit close to the speed last start, and I think she can improve, and Loving Gabby's certainly a good chance. And as I said, if I was putting one of the colts in, it'd be Hawker Hurricane. I think with the blinkers on and 1,200 metres, he'll run very well. But I'm tipping the fillies and Dressy Avenue on top.
Wow, I like this. What about the old PPO, Quinny, the old perfect pipe opener?
It's a rarity. It doesn't happen often.
Well, there's going to be one man, a friend of ours, in the fetal position right now.
Who's that?
Trent Tinderlangscale knocked back a share in this horse.
Oh, did he?
And he has been grimacing every time its name has popped up in the media throughout the course of the week. The only bright spot for him is he's got his eye on a young lass in the office who did take a share in the horse, so that might be some positive, but oh, dear me.
Jeez, you're a giver.
Oh, he's going to be flat, though, to hear that it's your special, Dino, because we know how much he loves you and loves working with you on a Saturday, so it'll be fascinating to see his poker face with the late mail before the race tomorrow.
Yes, I'm glad you've given me the heads up there.
So what's the movements in the market, Quinny, on this one?
Andressi Avenue has been 21 into 18. Liars a 550 favourite. Loving Gabby has been adrift. It was as short as $4 on Tuesday afternoon, out to 6. If you do like Loving Gabby, I'd advise you to keep your powder dry because I think the drift will continue. A theory on the next line of betting there at 750. I'm Immortal at 950. Catch Me, who was the one-time favourite at $10. And Trent has just texted through as well saying, yes, I heard that. And the shocked emoji. So how do you, what should he do, Dino? Should he go and have 100 on? Because at least then he's going to get $2,000 back if it does salute.
I think he's got to do something.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Make sure he does that tomorrow, Dino.
I'll get onto that.
Because he's a bit hesitant to part with the hard-earned sometimes. So at least if he has 100 on and the horse does win, it'll be some consolation.
He needs to do that. So if I'm not mistaken, Dino, 14, 7, 11, 10, maybe 2?
Yep. Yeah, they're the five for me, half.
Third leg, gentlemen, is the Oakley Plate, another Group 1 feature event on the card over the 1,100 metres for the sprinters and a big field going around too. We've got the 18 in there with Scholes coming out. Crown Witness will come in at big odds, Dino. But Nature Strip is all the talk at the moment for Chris Waller. Damien Lane in the saddle, a big win first up. Can we go again second up?
He can win. This is the most remarkable Oakley Plate market I've ever seen because it's always such an open race and it's him and then the rest are just nearly double figures, as we'll talk about in a minute. But he can win. He's got to begin well from that draw and really establish, really assert his authority on the race because that's his strength. And the last bit of the race, he's got to hang on a little bit. I think Eduardo's a great each-way bet here, number 10. He's a really good horse, as he proved in the spring. He won a couple of restricted races over winter, and then he went straight to open grade. Then he went to Group 2, and then he won a Group 2. Like, he was really parachuted into the big league. His trial recently, you just don't see horses trial any better than he did at Cranbourne. And I think, forget the wide draw, he's very quick early. He'll be across and into a spot very quickly. I think he's a great winning chance, and he's the value to beat Nature Strip. But it is an Oakley Plate. Even though it's a short market, I'll be putting a lot more than that in. I think chances to 18 charge, I think with 50 kilos on his back, fitter for one run in. He was brilliant winning on Cox Plate Day. I think he can measure up. 9 Booker ran very well in this race last year, and I think she trialled better leading into this than she did last year. And then even little chances to the likes of Sprite, who ran at Weight for Age in the spring and ran well, and 17 Encryption with a lightweight. But 10 and 3 are my principal numbers, but then I'll be going a lot wider with 18, 9, 6 and 17.
So you're tipping Eduardo, currently a $9 chance, has been specced in from 11. Can you just elaborate on what you mean by forget the gate? Because it will put a lot of people off. It's obviously affected the market quite significantly.
Well, fast horses at Caulfield, from that sort of gate, they've got 500-600 metres to work across. He's terrific out of the gates, and he's a high-pressure horse. So he will take, when you look at the speed map of where he's drawn, the horses directly inside him are Bonds Away, who likes to take a sit. Kimono will get back. Vane Stream will get back. Booker will get back. Sensei will get back. Fell Swoop's the first speed horse to his inside. So whilst he's in 20, Fell Swoop's in 13. So he can take 6 straight out of the equation. And then inside Fell Swoop, there's probably 5 or 6 back markers as well. So you can take nearly half the field out straight away that won't be in his way early. So he'll get across to be, third, fourth at the worst.
Rightio, there you go, a bit of feedback there. So 10 and 3 from 18, 9, 6, 17, if you want to go a bit wider there, in the Oakley Plate, the third leg of the quaddie tomorrow at Caulfield, which means we've only got one more to go, the Peter Young Stakes, the Group 2 Weight for Age event over the 1,800 metres. There are 11 in the field, and, Villiers for James Cummings is going beautifully at the moment. I imagine going to be tough to beat, Dino.
Very tough to beat, Daniel. He was outstanding first up. It was a great ride by Kieran McAvoy. Admittedly, he cut through the field and won well, and the horse will probably be a bit better for that run. He's got barrier one to contend with. That will be the issue a little bit, but I mentioned that back in the spring when he won the Bart Cummings and he was able to edge off the rail and win. He's just going to have to do it again here in probably a more compact field. That's, I think, the biggest challenge for Hugh Bowman. I think he can comfortably say he's riding the best horse, and we already know he's in form. The horse that was unlucky in the Ore Stakes was D'Argento. He looked to be travelling pretty well and never got a crack at them at any stage. I would expect 1800's about his optimum distance. I don't know if he runs a really strong 2000, even though he has one at it, but I think 1800 second up is ideal for him, and I'll be putting him in. And the other one I'll be putting in is the Taj Mahal, because I just think he's a good weight for age horse. He can get up on the speed, and he can find form early in a preparation. But very happy to be with Avilius ahead of D'Argento and Taj Mahal, 8, 6 and 7.
And the Taj Mahal, a $15 chance, so some spice there for the last leg of the quaddie, but it's all about Avilius, one of the best back runners on the program, has been a big firmer for the Australian Cup as well. After Dino suggested we take the $8, now a $3.50 favourite.
Rightio. So 8, 6 and 7 in the last leg of the quaddie. That is the quaddie legs. Had a bit of a preview there. Of course, narrow the focus tomorrow morning on RSN 927 with Dino and the crew, but gives you a bit of a heads up for your plans for tomorrow. Let's have a look at Dino's formula bet today, because three in a row, we had a winner last week. Didn't quite get the second one up, so we got a return and a profit again last week on Dino's formula bet. Dino, who are we playing for today, and what do you got for us?
Terence Gow of Cobram is the contestant today, Daniel. And for Terence, a $40 win bet on race 1, number 2, Secunderabad. Race 9, number 8, Avilius, and $40 on the all-up of the pair. Race 1, number 2, race 9, number 8. That's for Terence Gow of Cobram.
Quinny?
Have you ever seen a man write quicker than Rammer?
Nah.
When Dino, it's quite incredible, isn't it?
He's got a lamp just sort of illuminating his sheet.
Shorthand.
Well, fool's cap look, type situation.
No, we love it.
When the best talk, you listen.
No, we love
Simple
it.
Simple as that.
We love it.
Makes perfect sense to me, Rammer.
Never seen him so focused.
Google box it next week or something. Is that what it's called? Goggle box?
What?
The TV on, show you where you watch.
Oh, right. Yes.
You don't go broke backing winners.
So I'm very impressed. That double, very impressive as well. 562, 250 by 225. Start and end the day with winners. What more can you ask for?
Can't go broke, make a profit. Spot on, Rammer. 1 and 2 in from, into 9 and 8 for Dino's formula bet tomorrow.
Of course, Rammer's roughie is, of course, on Dressy Avenue in the Blue Diamond.
Oh, just poor Trent.
And just on the market there, is it again for Andressi Avenue, Quinny, $18, was it?
Yeah, 21 into 17. So
21 to 17.
Might wait till midday to back it when the happy hour goes up from the tab prices and they get pushed out as well. So we might get a little spoil there.
Hey. He says a bit more than the 1.05 multiplier. Yes. What is going on here?
Happy hour. Use the happy hour is not the word. I'm going to get a clip for forgetting what the word is, but the important thing is the odds gets boosted.
What time? Hang on.
Early bird special. That's it. Early bird special from midday.
Give us some Friday from midday.
Is this 1 hour?
All be revealed.
Until 12:05.
When I'm back at 9 o'clock with the information. Stay tuned.
Right, and make sure you listen to RSN 927 for more value from the tab for Blue Diamond Racing Day tomorrow. Dino, great stuff from you. Look forward to hearing more from you through the day and through tomorrow as well. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up next week.
Terrific. Thank you, guys.
Dean Lester, the world's greatest form analyst with us every week on the Friday Form. Quinny, I noticed, as we let Dino go, that you have selected Brooklyn Hustle for the Blue Diamond Stakes, and Brooklyn Hustle didn't make the top five for
you.
Yeah, Dino.
That's a bit of a setback, but I do like Brooklyn Hustle at around the $10 quote, and I think she'll run an excellent race and is the one to beat, but I love Avilius in the last. That's the little plan of attack. Be winning all day and put the winnings on Avilius and go home very happy from Caulfield. One of the great days of racing anywhere across the world.
So our caffeine investment is Avilius?
I think so.
Righto. Take the easy one again. That's fine.
Probably midday to 6 p.m. with the with the special odds today.
Midday to 6 p.m.
Yep.
Okay. For Blue Diamond Day.
The problem with Quinny is we only see him once a month. So it's hard to get the hot beverages.
No, I'm back.
You're privileged today.
Back this morning.
I'm back.
He's been locked down for a couple
2 months.
You know, Trent sings. Trent brings in copious amounts of beverages.
And the big one, the large one.
Buckets of it.
Yeah, when he's around us in the office, he wouldn't shout if he was bitten by a shark. And he comes in here and he brings treats
What's your point of difference?
I don't really have one. I don't even know why I'm here sometimes.
It's his hair. It's his beautiful hair.
And I know why. Too.
Yeah, guilty.
Speaking of info, one man who's got more of that than anyone on the planet is Scotty Gallen from the Herald Sun. He's back with us on a Friday. Good morning, Scotland.
Morning, Daniel. Wonderful to see you.
Isn't it ever?
It is.
How's your week been, Scotland?
I was highlighted yesterday when Eliza Sewell walked up to me in my office.
What'd she say?
Said, I've just written a story about your man, which you're known as your man. I said, oh, this is good timing because the boys will be waiting. And I heard from Six, it was outstanding.
Just
voice control by your co-host. That was the highlight.
Oh, that was amazing. That was a real Craig.
No, I'm very excited. I mean, the PR campaign. The only bit is I don't like you lying. I generally don't like people lying.
When did I lie?
The last bit where you said, oh, no interest in AFL. No. We all know, and given what
in
happened...
coaching.
Men's coaching. We all know what, given what happened at Icon Park yesterday, where the men's team were horrendous again in their first showing.
All part of the plan.
That by round six, you'll be probably men's coach.
That is not
And the
true.
Big picture Scandals. Story is impress them with the women... And then they just slide over. It's an easy succession plan.
Scurrilous, you are. You're
so when you lie and say, oh, no, no interest. We know, and I appreciate that you've let us know and not the public, that the big picture plan is world domination.
it's called leverage.
Yeah, correct.
No, you know what that would mean, don't you? If anyone ever came knocking, which I have no, I'm not answering the door.
I have no doubt. He was about to say, I have no doubt they are.
I'm not answering the door. I couldn't hang out with you guys every day. So why would I do that?
There was a stitch up by the Herald Sun, your paper.
Yes.
Online with Half.
Oh.
Was there?
What did they
on
do?
On Super Footy.
What have they done?
The headline was, Halford, colon, men think they know it all.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
oh, like
that's just, well, that's really playing to the...
You
got to
read
the group.
You got
to
read the article. Always read the article. Never the
It was notes. An outstanding article by Liza.
There was also another outstanding article in the paper today. You're back actually writing real articles again, Scotty.
Okay, I'll ignore that, but keep going.
Oh, yeah, you tell us the news.
Real articles?
Yeah. It's a few
Which
pages.
One?
It's a few pages into the sport.
No, I had the All-Star Mile.
No,
took my spot.
No.
Oh, hang on. Keep going. Sally Pearce.
Yes. Have you been sitting on a bed again? If you had Sally just leaning on your shoulder, just crying like Yana Pittman did all those years ago in the hotel room?
I only get close to the good ones. You've got to be a world champ or an Olympic champ or I don't really give you much.
Right.
But Sally has warranted my love. Yeah, she's back next week. Resumes in Brisbane, Inter Club. And Tokyo, here we come. And no one is more excited than me, Rama.
Major How old self?
She gets me 32. On planes.
Well,
yes, 32.
That was my next question. Is the ticket already booked to Tokyo?
Well, no, it never is because it's...
So when does the campaign start?
Well, we have nationals coming up soon, so I've got to put myself back in the...
Right.
Being the athletics
yes.
guru.
Yes, okay.
You can never... It's a moving feast journalism nowadays. You know that. It's
yes,
very
I
difficult to
that.
Get on planes and do anything, so I need to play it right. And Sally being up and alive and... standing up and running
would be helpful
because she ticks the boxes with the editors.
Is that because you're in her inner sanctum that you can get the scoop if necessary?
I have spent some quality time and yes, I believe I'm not speaking out of school, but she's my girl.
Well, it's not just 2020 Tokyo that we're looking forward to. Like, there's World Championship in Doha.
Yes.
Yes.
No,
I don't think he's a Doha man.
Jury's out of there. I'm not sure I can
I think Doha
express
might be
myself.
A little bit warm.
No, the heat, but you're limited in what you can do, my
yes.
Maylies. You can't stride around the streets so behaving.
Might be good for the regime just to sweat it out a bit.
Yeah, oh, no, that, well, I'll be 50 Ks by then, the way this is going.
Be jockey.
But after that, you got Tokyo and then things. This is like in America and Paris Olympics, but I'll be about 80 by the time that
I'm
comes.
Glad you mentioned the Paris Olympics. Yesterday, there was some disturbing news coming out of the IOC where they
What's
are
happened?
Considering
oh,
including
no.
breakdancing. As an Olympic
this
sport.
Can't be serious.
Break dancing, electric boogaloo style. Back in the
80s. They jumped the shark often, but break dancing.
Now you as our athletics and international sporting guru, need to have someone do something about this.
What do they put in the gymnastics sort of regime and just call it? How do you...
Sport climbing is another one they're going to put in.
Isn't esports supposed to be Adam White's favourite gig? Isn't that supposed to be looming large?
Not an Olympic sport, is it? E-sport?
Yeah, no, they want to get...
E-sports, I nearly text you last night. It was on 8 o'clock.
Wasn't there a technical malfunction or something? That
the power went off. Yeah, no, that's not good, Daniel. This is exhibition, obviously, but it's still...
This is they want it as an Olympic sport.
See, this
break dancing, Scott.
No,
it's
I
damaging
can't.
The brand of the Olympics.
It's killing the Olympics.
I am Olympic
Because there's some dodgy
man.
Ones next year, isn't there, anyway, in Tokyo.
Well, they just go with the wrestling and badminton. That's their strengths. It's the host city goes with their strengths with the silly sports. But breakdance, oh, no, I can't
would,
even.
What would be
Japanese?
Yeah, what would be?
Well, they love their wrestling. Squash, badminton. They're already in, aren't they?
They're all in.
I don't know what they...
Squash, squash an Olympic sport or just a Commonwealth Games sport?
Yaga Khan and all them, is it?
Nah, squash hasn't been.
Squash hasn't been. No, you're right. It's only Commonwealth.
I think baseball's back for Japan.
Oh, yes, because they're very good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not against that. That's a sport.
Baseball's a sport.
Breakdancing. Yeah, no. Sorry, I can't defend that decision. That's horrendous.
If you could add one sport to the Olympics, what would it be? One sport that's not there now.
We call that a question without notice.
Well, golf got a gig. That. Is golf still in it?
Golf's still in, yep.
Yeah. Tennis is in. Cricket.
No.
Why wouldn't you have T20 Olympics?
On a rival radio station, they were questioning whether AFLX should be in the Olympics.
No, I'm not going there. Surfing.
We often take the mickey as well. Surely they were doing that too.
I'm not sure.
What, surfing's been in before, hasn't it?
Surfing is in the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo.
Yep. Correct.
Surfing.
Have you got a theory?
Where are the good surf beaches in Japan?
Yeah, no.
they have one of those, just the fake ones.
They've got a lot
out in the middle of the city.
It's all coast.
Yeah,
Japan,
no,
it's all coastline.
I can't think of one, Rama. You have one that you've asked?
Esports.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm not as bad as Adam White, but you can't have that in Olympics. You're watching a screen.
No, he makes a good point.
$1 billion industry.
Yeah, it doesn't what mean does you have mean? To get in the Olympics.
So that gets, but that, well, what?
The Olympics, we're going to get the young people involved
netball?
In the Olympics.
Spot on.
Breakdance. Netball's big in the Commonwealth.
No, that is exactly why Whitey.
Yeah, but the Olympics, that's not, it's not a sport, mate.
But you want eyes on the TV.
We'll be back in 20 minutes.
Eyes on the TV. If you need eyes on the TV, you go one of the most popular sports.
It's not
or
a sport.
Pastimes or hobbies that people
those,
are watching.
It's none of those.
But they don't have to be in the Olympics. They can still be big in the sporting sphere. With an asterisk, but not in the Olympics.
You're training, you talk to, getting ready for the Olympics, training for, eating my Doritos and my Pepsi Max, just getting ready.
No, they're athletes. I've got a friend who is an owner of an esports team, and they train with a regime.
They do.
And what's the training?
Well, they do nutrition and health and well-being.
Oh, please.
As well as their
obviously be up all night, so that's what they train.
No, they don't need to be up all night.
How many M&Ms I can eat between sessions?
They're professional. They don't have M&Ms. They have
Doritos.
They have nutritional foods
to help their
health,
eyesight, and their
carrots,
and their thumbs, making their thumbs move quick.
Well, joint mobility is important, so
yes,
they have all
I
the glucosamine
that.
And the shark cartilage. Those tablets, those famous tablets. That's what they have, Scotty.
No, well, back to breakdancing. I'm sorry, I can't.
We can't have breakdancing.
No, can't help you.
You're our Olympic guru around here, so you need to do something
I'll
about that.
I'll explore that. That's disappointing.
You need to do something about that. Now, what have we got? The footy show.
Yes.
You've written about the footy show today's
a new
the
footy
score,
show.
The award winning. What's going on with the footy show? Because I think there'd be a lot of people out there would be interested in where that develops.
Well, we don't know what's happening to the Thursday night.
Oh, hang on. What's this
no, one? This is a new one.
Oh, there's a new one?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Adam would be across, but he keeps mum on these sort of things, i.e. lies.
I actually found out about this yesterday.
Through Adam?
Is my phone number in there? Have we checked it?
Well, call me.
I call you.
Yeah, that's right.
Two-way relationship.
You want the information.
I get it from real people who tell me. Croc Media, and there's going to be a player show, basically. So players are going to be on panels. Bit like the old footy show, but they're going to drive it and host it. Sammy McClure, our former Channel 7 man, might reappear. It's going to be on Channel 9 and possibly after Footy Classified. Slide in that time slot.
After Footy Classified?
Yeah, so they had
it's
secret...
It's 1 a.m. these days.
Yeah, exactly. They had secret
meetings.
With the
television shopping channel.
With the two big management groups, of which Adam Ramanaskas is one of them, and he failed to tell us, and Paul Connors, and all the players have shown interest. And I believe it got the green light. So, it's going to be called the Oval Office, I believe. That didn't make the copy here, but my understanding is...
Why didn't that make... That's important information.
That's called a subbing error. I don't know why.
Live a little, have an open mind, and this is not to be seen as something that's similar to regular fixture AFL. This is fun. This is for the kids. Colours are bright. The names are a bit funky, so have a good time.
Names are a bit funky from Fifey there yesterday. That was on the back of his singlet, Fifey. Looking forward to seeing what he's got for us. AFLX tonight. He'll be the captain of one of the teams. Who's he playing for?
Flyers.
Is he the Flyers?
Flyer.
He's a Flyer man. I think the Fifester, isn't he?
Yeah, Flyers.
He's skipper Flyers. Of the Flyers. Easton Wood's not a flyer. He's a rampager. And he'll be looking forward, I'm sure, to tonight's action at Marvel Stadium. He joins us, the captain of the Western Bulldogs. Good morning, Easton.
Yeah, morning, guys. How are you?
Going very well, thank you. What's on the back of your jumper? What name have you got?
I went super creative, mate, and just put my last name.
Wow.
That's a bit boring for the kids.
Yeah, I probably should have had my time again and thought of something, tried to be at least funny, but that's not my go-to, so I tried to stick in the safe zone, guys.
Keep it simple. Nice work, really, in the grand scheme of things. Now, you're in the Jack Riewoldt Rampage team. You've also got some, obviously, most of the players are big stars in the competition. Is there one player you're looking forward to playing with more than another?
Looking forward to playing with Lockie Whitfield. Yeah, I think the way that he runs, and particularly, you know, his speed, he's just suited down to the ground to this game. But I think the best part about this whole thing, mate, is being able to play with all the guys that you've never got a chance to get to know that well, which is, you know, a unique opportunity. So it's going to be some good fun.
So, Easton, why were you supportive of this concept? I think it's going to be great, but there's been some commentary from some people sort of really ridiculing it quite heavily. Why are you supportive of the concept?
Well, first of all, I don't understand why some people get so worked up.
Yeah.
The game's really only taken place of one of the other JLT games. So instead of playing three of those, we play two in this. So it really hasn't taken the place of anything. So I was open to it for that reason. But I just think it's going to be a bit of fun. And it's not every day you get the chance to play with other AFL players or get to know them. I've been in the system for a long time now, and that opportunity's only come up about once for me. So, I'm always a glass half full kind of guy, so I thought, why not?
And this style of game is basically really what you guys perform at training in terms of your grid games, is that correct?
Yeah, we do small-sided games quite often, and we play a version of about 9v9, which isn't too dissimilar to what we'll play tonight. It's a lot of fun, so, looking forward to it.
Easton, I caught the NBA All-Star game last week, and it was hilariously just a three-point shootout and no one was going near anyone. Will there be tackling, or what's the... Will you just sort of corral blokes? How are you going to handle the physicality of this new X game?
I guess I'm going to wait and see what everybody else is doing, mate.
You'll be standing off each other.
You don't want to be the guy when, if no one's tackling, you're going out there and going 110 miles an hour. Standing out like that. So I guess we'll wait and see, but it's definitely an offense-friendly game, so probably won't be a whole lot of tackling, mate.
So, Easton, we're talking to you at 5-8 on a Friday morning on game day. If it was the Bulldogs playing tonight in an AFL game, what would be your normal day?
I'd normally try and sleep in as long as I can, so I'd probably wake up at about 9 o'clock. Just because the length of the day to playing at night, you've got to have the balance of doing nothing but not getting sluggish during the day, which is a fine kind of balance. So I'll normally take the dog first, the longest walk he can, and get a coffee and make that last for as long as I can. I'll try and do a few odd jobs around the house, which is pretty boring, but it keeps me going. And then watch a movie or watch some TV, and hopefully by that time it's taken me pretty close and I can start to pack my bag and get ready.
Luke Parker's always in contention. He's a Sydney Swans superstar. He's got a big night coming up at Marvel Stadium for the AFL X competition. He joins us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, Luke.
Hey, boys. How you going?
We're going really well. Thank you, buddy. You're a bolt tonight with Penny Dangerfield and Tom Hawkins, Andrew Gaff, still sidebottom, Luke Hodge. Are you looking forward to it? Have you practiced much prior to getting in camp with the boys?
I haven't been able to, really. We've been flat out with pre-season, so it was kind of rock up yesterday and have a little bit of a chat and kick around, and then I think we'll just wing it on the night.
Sounds like a pretty good plan, I reckon. What about the concept appeals to you?
I think for the kids, just the shorter kind of game, I think being able to play it anywhere and probably being a little bit less contact, so I can... see it being able to be played at schools if they don't have ovals, places where they don't have a lot of area. I think that's what they're trying to achieve.
You're a good person to ask about this, coming from Sydney. Well, that's where you are now. Is AFL building since you've been up there, or is this something that maybe Brisbane, Sydney schools will embrace more than what we currently see in AFL football?
No, I think my time in Sydney, I think it's been going crazy. Just AFL in general, I think I've been to schools where they're launching putting up the goalposts, and it's always been rugby fields, and now they're putting up football goalposts and more teams and more Auskick. And now even, we did the community camps at the start of the week, and seeing the amount of girls who are actually really excited to be signing up is actually really incredible.
It's interesting.
It is good. It's good for the game. I imagine this sort of concept would, as you talked about before, with space restrictions for a lot of areas, particularly in city areas, Luke, that this opportunity to play on a soccer-sized pitch, or even just modify it to a basketball pitch at a basketball court at schools, would make it more attractive, do you reckon?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just another way to get the kids involved, and it's just making it more accessible for everyone.
Have you had a tutorial on the rules yet? Because there's a few quirky ones in there.
Yeah, we did. We had a couple yesterday, so we had a bit of a meeting and went through everything. So, look, I'll probably forget half of them once I'm out there and make a fool of myself, but I'll see how we go.
Now, we were talking to Easton Wood about the tackling, and you're a bull at a gate. You see the ball or the man. I mean, how are you going to rein yourself back in, or how do you think it'll play out physical-wise?
Watching last year, I hardly saw a tackle. So, but yeah, I don't think the boys will obviously be a bit wary and not absolutely kill each other, which will be the main thing. I think the boys will look after each other and hopefully still put on a good performance. But who knows? I think the boys can get pretty competitive. So it could be an all-in still.
Hey, look, turning our attention to the Swans, will there be a slight changing of the guard in the middle of the ground? Will we see a little bit more of Isaac Heaney and Callum Mills come into the fold in the middle of the ground in 2019?
Yeah, those two boys in particular, and Tommy Papley as well. I think those guys are kind of at that stage. They've all had a few pre-seasons under their belt and playing some really good football, and all of them are in our leadership group now, and I think it just gives us a really good look with some more depth and hopefully a few different looks that we can be able to rest forward and change and do a few little tricks here and there. So those boys will be training. They've been training a lot in the midfield this year, and hopefully we'll see them in there.
That was the best of The Breakfast Club. If you want to hear the full interviews again, go straight to the website, rsn.net.au.